The second scripture is from the book of James. I like the book of James. One, it's short. Two, my dad would say that James speaks straight from the shoulder. There's not a lot of interpretation required. James was the older brother, we believe, older brother of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is from the book of James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 20, and then 26. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dutch. Wouldn't it have been something to be the younger brother of Jesus and watch him live his life and look at the example he left? Wow. That would have been something. Thank you, Dutch, for sharing with us this morning. You know, I started last week a series on good deeds and what good are they. And this week, being Memorial Day Sunday, I still felt what I had to share this morning can weave right into a Memorial Day kind of message as well. In the church, so many times when we preach the Bible, and I have emphasized many times throughout the years the fact that you and I cannot obtain salvation by our good works, that it is by grace through faith, and even faith itself is a gift of God. Not by good works, lest any one of us should boast. And I read an article, and I'm sharing again this morning. I read a one-page article from a Dr. Mascala from Andrews University talking about reasons why good deeds are a part of our Christian faith in light of the fact that we speak the way we do. Because sometimes you might think, well, gee, if I'm saved by grace, good works become just kind of a side effect. But it's far more than that, far more than that. So here's reason number two here this morning. Last week we shared, by the way, good deeds have a crucial role, not so much for us, but crucial for the salvation of others. By the way, you and I live our lives as we live out in a world out there, that it is crucial that we live our lives in that kind of a way so that others are attracted to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like to share with you another reason why good deeds are good is that they reveal the quality of our relationship with God. Think about that for a moment. Think about fake versus genuine. You know, we talk sometimes about that. You know, well, we hear on TV about fake news versus real news. But I wanted to use an example here this morning that I find interesting, and I only dabbled in it for a little bit, and we've got people in this church that dabble in this a lot more than I do, but this whole idea of a classic car, a real, genuine classic car, and a fake one. You know, a few years ago, I thought, oh, I can get into buying an old classic car, and I'm going to make some money on this, right, Courtney? Yeah. I'm just going to restore the whole thing, and then, hey, it's going to help pay for weddings and such. Which is what it ended up doing because I sold it. But I learned some things about classic cars. A real, genuine classic car isn't perfect. a real genuine classic car that comes with all the original parts. And if you notice, back in that day, they didn't have the precision we have today with all the computers and all the kinds of things we have, even paint jobs and all those kinds of things. Isn't quite like you might find on a brand new car today, and precisely way, the way all the little pieces come together and all that stuff. I noticed that in the car that I bought. Of course, I bought it and the engine didn't work. They had to replace the transmission and do a whole bunch of other work. Anyway, the investment was no longer an investment. It became a money pit. But I learned something about classic cars and talking to people who had them, and how you can really tell if something is genuine or fake. Real parts that were a part of that car originally versus fakes that you used to replace in that car. And I'm going to get back to that in a little bit here this morning to talk about this whole idea about the quality of our relationship with God. I want you to hold on to that idea that sometimes if it looks perfect, it's not genuine. I wanted to go to another area this morning, too. We've heard more and more today, just you hear it on the news so many times, and this has to do with the military, and it's stolen valor. How there are those who try to disguise themselves as someone who served in the military or done something very heroic, and you find out they probably never even served in the military. Or there might be those who served in the military and said they were on a deployment and they got injured in war and all that sort of thing, and you find out it didn't happen to them at all. Both to lesser or greater degrees are kind of stolen valor, and the whole thing is, how can you tell the difference between a genuine and fake? What's real and what isn't? When that comes to relationships, a fake relationship can't last. A fake relationship just doesn't last because the cracks start to show when the going gets tough, don't they? The difference between a genuine relationship with someone and one that is fake, or at least predicated on something less than really wanting a genuine relationship, when the going gets tough, so many times the cracks start to show. Sometimes the relationship is very one-sided. Do you remember the text we read in Nehemiah here this morning? How God was the one who had been protecting the people of Israel and doing everything he could and loved them so genuinely and provided for them in so many ways. And yet now they're going through rough times. They're talking about, you know, their fathers and their forefathers and how they kind of messed things up. But notice how the relationship seemed in that text to be so one-sided. God loved and loved and loved and provided and provided and provided. And yet so many times in a relationship that's not of much quality, it can be a very one-sided relationship. You see, God was the invested one. And them, just like I'll tell you and me this morning, God is far more invested in us than we are invested in Him. Even when we try to give Him our everything, it is still, isn't it, kind of one-sided. We have an amazing God. A fake relationship just doesn't last. A fake relationship has no appeal. Think about it for a moment. A fake relationship has no appeal. Those who observe a relationship over time will see through it. They'll see through it. Sometimes you and I are in relationship because we want something out of that relationship. That's the only reason why we're in that relationship. I want something from that. And over time, you can see that relationships that are based on that kind of thing have no real appeal. People see through it. If there's no investment in a relationship, then it will not have any appeal over time. In the book of James, in chapter 2 that was read today, we've heard that statement oftentimes, faith without works is dead. And how true it is, if I have a faith in the one who loves me dearly, and yet my life shows no concern for him whatsoever. No concern for what God stands for whatsoever, yet I claim a faith in Him. That kind of faith has zero appeal, doesn't it? Our faith in church on a Sunday morning can show quite the appeal. We know how to say thank you, Jesus, and I love you, and praise God, and all those kind of things. Sunday morning's easy, isn't it? We're amongst everybody else, and so I can say those words here, and I can talk like that, and we can do all that sort of thing, and it's in a real comfortable setting here. But how is my life once I leave this building? What comes out of my mouth when I leave this building? How do I treat others when I leave this building? Do I ever lift up the name of Jesus Christ when I leave this building? It was so easy this morning in the songs that we sung to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And how do I do that when I leave on Sunday morning? James says, those two go together. Faith and good deeds go together. A genuine faith is accompanied by living our life in a way that honors the one that we have faith in. I mean, think about it, folks, when you first married your spouse. Okay, let's go down memory lane. Man, you were proud to walk down the road with that person and hold their hand and just, you know, this is my wife. She's down in the nursery this morning, so I can do that a little bit, right? Is that where she is? Yeah. I might be embarrassing my daughter, but my wife, she doesn't even know what I'm saying, so. But, I mean, isn't that the case, though? I mean, we're so proud of the one. We're proud of being a part of that person's life. I mean, that's why we said, would you marry me? And we're so much that way, aren't we? Because we are invested in that relationship. And we love that other person so much. And we're willing to tell others about that as well. A fake relationship has no appeal. I want to move in another little direction here this morning that might surprise people somewhat, because if I'm talking about this second reason being the quality of our relationship with God is the reason why good works are so important, because others are watching. And I told you last week there were three of these reasons that are not so much about me. They're about everybody else in my relationship with Christ. They're about how others view us as Christians. And that is this, and I mentioned it a little bit with the classic car. A real relationship has flaws, but it's real. I want to share that this morning because sometimes preachers tend to preach in ideals up here. And so half the congregation says, well, that ain't me because I'm a messed up person. And if you see the way I live my life, if you are the fly in the wall in my home, if you are whatever the case may be, we kind of discount what's being shared because we say, you know what, I don't have a real quality relationship because everybody knows my past, everybody knows my present, and I'm probably going to mess up in the future, so you kind of tune out a little bit. I want to share something with you this morning that I think is very important for us to hear, and it's this, that a real relationship has flaws like the classic car. It isn't perfect. And a real good classic car person will look and they can tell you why that car is a classic, because it's untouched. Its flaws are right there, but it's real. It's a real classic car. I want you and me to understand that you and I can be real, authentic Christians, and we're not perfect. If we were perfect, we didn't need Jesus. A quality relationship doesn't look perfect. But here's what it does if it's a quality relationship. It reveals flaws but points to the beauty of the relationship. Some of the most powerful testimony that we as Christians can have is that when we mess up and we give it to God, and we ask forgiveness. People who see our life see what? They don't see fake. What do they see? They see genuine. Some of the greatest opportunities for witness in our life is not because, boy, I'm such a perfect neighbor. Chuck and Jenny would say, yeah, right, their dog barks all the time. We've got great neighbors. Across the road, too. I better say that because, yeah, I've got people coming to church from all over the place in our neighborhood. So I better, you know, Loretta, where did Loretta go? She's hiding back there. Great neighbors over there on the other side, too. Yeah. And the Daryls and Grace Chase when she's here in the summer. And okay, yeah. Anyway, got some of my neighbors covered this morning. But you get it? We're flawed people. But we can have a quality relationship with God being flawed people. Because relationships like that, there are real attempts at building it, even when those attempts sometimes fall flat. People can see that you're trying to build rather than tear down. People can see that you're trying to do what's right, even though sometimes you just miss the mark. And they can see that you really love God. You're really trying. And sometimes you kind of blow it, but you don't give up. You keep on going. That's a quality relationship. That's where good deeds play a tremendous role in showing other people that this person isn't a fake. This person is real. So people, I think what I've done this morning is I've included every one of you out there, and especially those of you who say, well, I have to check out at this part of the sermon because you're talking about a quality relationship, and I don't think I really have it. Genuine is what God wants. God never leaves that relationship. You know, in our relationships on earth, sometimes we leave a relationship because, you know, for whatever reasons, it's not working. And it gets sometimes pretty bad. And maybe the best thing to do is to cut off. But you know, the wonder about this thing with God is He's always good. He's always great. He always loves. He's never at fault in the relationship. We're always the one that's at fault, but God says what? In Scripture, in the book of Deuteronomy, the first time He says it, and He says it several times after, He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Now, we say that, and oops, I left you, I forsook you, I've God says it, and it always happens. And so in our relationship with Him, you can know that even though we slip and fall, and even though we try really hard, we mess up sometimes, and even though sometimes there's a selfish purpose behind what we're doing, we realize it later, and then we try to get it right, God never leaves that relationship. Praise God. You know, kind of like the military, you may not know what you're facing, but you face it together, huh? Those of you who served, the cost isn't even considered because you're in relationship, right? In the military, when they go through boot camp together and they go through all this other stuff together and they go out in a deployment together and they're in the theater of war together and they know when the boss says, we got to go do this, even though you don't like it, even though you know it might mean I got to give my life or one of my colleagues, one of my fellow soldiers is going to have to give their life, you do it because you're in relationship. And you value that relationship. And so you go and do whatever it is you need to do, even though it might mean great cost. And a quality relationship with God has the same, I hope and pray for us, has the same kind of ingredient there. I am in relationship with God. And if God calls me to be, as He says in Romans 12, a living sacrifice, then whatever it takes, whatever it means, I need to be willing to try and do the best I can. Even when I'm scared, I can't even imagine. But some of you who've served in the theater of war, I'm sure there are times that you're scared. But you just keep plugging away because everybody on your right and your left are counting on you and you're counting on them. And you face it because you're in relationship and you know what your task is. I'm going to close here, but I hope you get the idea here this morning, folks, that when we're talking about our quality relationship with God, don't measure it by your perfection. Measure it by your genuineness. And when you slip and fall and fail, it's probably the best opportunity to show people out there in the world that you have a quality relationship with God by the way you respond to it. So like last week about good deeds, how good deeds are crucial for the salvation of others. This week, the quality of our relationship with God is really important because it shows others out there that we're genuine. We're genuine. I say even the scars can be beautiful when given over to the transforming grace of God. Isn't it interesting that in the book of Revelation, where it talks about how John was seeing all these things in one of the visions he sees at one point as he looks and he says, I see a lamb and it looks as if it was slain. Think about that. The scars of Jesus Christ after the resurrection were a important reminder of the sacrifice that he made on the cross at Calvary. Those scars are beautiful. And those scars are what saved us from all of our mess and our sin. And what I'm saying to you and me this morning is sometimes you and I have scars in our life. We didn't do something right. We blew it. Those scars are beautiful when we put them in God's hands and say, God, use these scars to bring honor and glory and praise to you. That's a quality life in Jesus Christ. I hate to inform you this morning, but you're not perfect. Some of you are surprised by that statement. But transparency and honesty in your relationship with God are very important. Your transparency, your honesty in your relationship, and your witness reveal a quality in your relationship that is appealing to others. Because they're flawed out there too, and they know it. And some people think they can't become a Christian until they become kind of perfect. And yet when they look and they say, you know what? There wouldn't be any of us. They look and they say, there's a broken person, but they seem to be genuine about their relationship. And they keep going back to that place where they worship on Sunday morning, they sing weird songs, and they have a kind of a dork for a pastor. But they seem to really be genuine about all this stuff. They really love. They really care. And they didn't get down and beat on themselves. They rose up again. They said, you know, God loves me anyway. But I don't want to make that same mistake again because I want to have a quality relationship with God. All right, now I really am closing. If you claim the name of Jesus Christ, you signed up for this. Okay? If you claim the name of Jesus Christ, you signed up for this. I want you to get it now. I'm getting down to the... You signed up for it. And if you signed up for it, make it matter. Make it matter. If we're going to be a poor example of what it means to be a Christian, there are a lot of people out there that are never going to take notice. They're not going to be interested or curious. We signed up for it. Let's make it matter. And when you fail, make those scars count by giving it back to God. That's attractive to others. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a favorite on a Sunday like this Sunday. I love the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I'd like you to